Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is November 12th, and I'm not sure if I think this is home. I think I'm home after, a couple wild and crazy weeks on the road. Great to be here, Craig. Did Craig come rolling in there? Yeah, I got in yesterday afternoon, evening. Had a little birthday party with my, celebrate my son-in-law's birthday. Michelle and I are on pins and needles. She more pins, me more needles, maybe. Waiting for the birth of our little Emmy. It's going to come. We thought it would happen in the middle of the night because our daughter Maggie said yesterday she thought maybe she was having some contractions. But getting ready, getting close. So we're having one. Emmy's going to show up here. Emery? Emery's going to show up here, third girl for Isaiah and Maggie on her way. And then on January 9th, Abby, one lives up top of the hill. Abby's going to have one. We don't know what that one is. That one's going to be a surprise. So we're be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Yeah, appreciate the fact you joined me today. Not used to being back in my friendly haunts here. And got a lot of stuff to talk about. Heck, I'm going to show this just real quick, Jared. I just sent this to Jared. I don't know how many of you guys have seen this. This is one of the most wicked things I've ever seen. The new Planned Parenthood ad. If you haven't seen it, let's start the show off today with the new Planned Parenthood ad, just maybe to get me get an edge on me here, if you know what I'm talking about. So, Jared, I just sent it. It's only 42 seconds. This shows you how sick Planned Parenthood is. I'm not even going to comment much after we watch it. It's just sick. Here we go. For those of you who can't see, it's a picture of a baby. And it says, she deserves to be loved. Beautiful baby, blue eyes, smiling. She deserves to be wanted. She deserves to be a choice. Stand with PP. Brothers, that's pretty daggone wicked there, isn't it? They don't even deny that baby's alive. I mean, they don't even try to make us say it's not a baby. They don't even want to say that. Now they're showing us a full-born baby, beautiful blue eyes, smiling, got a little cap on its head. They're not even hiding it anymore, are they? What they're doing? Not even hiding it. Unbelievable. Hey, listen, man, I want to try to condense a few things here in a few moments regarding the week I just went through, and maybe I can get some testimonies in here. It was an amazing week. Yeah, I know you want to. I know I got some stuff I want to talk about too. Just bear with me. Got to do a little bit of house cleaning here. Good to see my wife, man. I love my wife. I think that's the longest time since we've been married. Six consecutive nights she was in our warm bed without me. And me, I was on couches most of the time. I'm not complaining, but I was. Sometimes the couch is the best place to sleep when you're on the road. So it was good to get home last night, back into it. I want to tip my cap. I'm looking at what I got up over here. I want to tip my cap to Jim Kraft again. I think he's still in Florida. I think he's still down there. A couple other guys maybe have joined him. And Jim's given the last almost 3 weeks of his, he's been away from his wife. And he's still down in Florida. I can't emphasize to you enough, folks. the huge, huge oak trees that are just laying everywhere down there in Florida on houses, in yards, unbelievably 100-year-old trees, $1 billion of lumber, they said, $1 billion lumber. If you could start a lumber company and load up all those trees and bring them up here to Columbus, Ohio, it's $1 billion. And Jim's a warrior, and he runs that chainsaw like nothing, man. And he's been putting them up in his sister's house. We've been sleeping on the floor. But there's more than that going on. And I just want to take a little bit of testimony time, because I see here, I had a conversation with Mark Trump yesterday. Mark Trump's been down there twice. In fact, folks, we are planning, sort of planning, casually planning. If you want some more, what do we call it? Church camp for adults. You want some more church camp for adults? We're maybe planning another go round down in Panama City in December, early in December, first week of December. Like, I think maybe it's the 6th or something. I'll check it out. But I had a conversation with Mark Trump yesterday, and he's still just glowing. So, Mark, come on in here a little bit, man. Testify a little bit about that trip down there. Maybe we can get some more guys down there for church camp for adults later on. Come on in there, Mark.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Gary. I'm still more pretty much in awe from what we witnessed and the work we did. So it's the band of brothers. It's like we gradually work together better and better, like a machine. Don coming down from New Jersey with his heavy equipment, and Craig with his bobcat running around like, I don't know, that that dude is some kind of operator, right? Get out of his way, coach.
Right, get out of his way.
Yeah, just an amazing time, and I think the fellowship, the doing work together, it somehow changes the dynamic between two men. You develop trust. You understand how they work. You look out for each other's backs. So, I mean, it was a good time, and I would encourage everyone to take advantage of one of these upcoming disasters to participate. I think that our time is now. Yeah. We need to step out and start looking at our priorities, start looking at where we focus our energy, where we use our bodies that God's given us, and think about using them for Christ. Oh, I could go on and on, Coach, but it was just a blessing to be with you and see you out there with us and, you know, interviewing people, watching them cry, and just seeing the appreciation and
the fellowship.
Knowing that it's going to be that way for, what, another few months? There's just an endless amount of work, and Mexico City's not even been touched. No one's been to Mexico City. It's more destruction.
Folks, you understand what he's saying? We're in Panama City. Right next to that is, you got to go about 5 miles to Mexico City, which was ground zero. And it is just absolutely, it's just litter. And so, we haven't even worked our way down into there yet.
Yeah, so we worked on mostly folks without insurance. And even when you have insurance, they only cover if it lands on your car, house, or boat. So all of those massive trees in the yards covering their torn up septics or water systems, they can't get their homes back to order until the trees are gone. So they're doing without. It's been, what, a month now, and yep, they're just doing without. They're pooping in buckets, and they're erecting temporary urinals for their families. And it's like something you would see in a third world country.
It really, really is. I think we're a month out, and people are still as needy. You know, I think I told the story. I don't know if we're going to hang in there with me, okay, folks? I told the story of the couple that the elderly couple, 75 years old. I call that elderly. Now I'm going to be 66. Maybe I'm not so much elderly anymore. Who it hit 6 days. Not mobile home, but double wide, the modular home, thank you, Lord, in their modular home for 6 days. No electric, no cell phone, no television, road blocked by trees, 6 days. 6 days. Put water in their bathtub. They were smart enough to do that, filled the bathtub up with water as the storm was coming. They rode the storm out, and then they used the water to flush the toilet and all that kind of stuff. 75 years old. We showed up a month later, and the trees were everywhere. They're just like it, and nothing of that had ever happened. So we heard a lot of those kind of experiences, and it really, really humbling. But to know that it really hasn't even been done. Craig, can you get in here today, Craig? Craig Fawcett. I know Craig. Yeah, I see Craig's with us. I don't know if he's figured out how to unmute his phone or not. Craig, if you're trying to do it, should hit your phone and a little microphone come up red, and you click on that, and it'll enable you to come in here. So I'm watching to see if you can unmute. Craig came all the way from Iowa. He brought a skid steer, which is a little bobcat, you guys know what a little bobcat is. And he brought that down there, and he was a marvel on it. And not only that, the fellowship, man, of just afterwards getting to know these guys deep. I got a scripture I'm going to read here in a second. Just stay with me, okay? I'm going to bring all this together, I promise you. And, Craig was down there, and Don was down there, and Mark was down there, and Jim was down there, and I was down there, and Gary Pierce was down there, and I feel like I'm missing the seventh. Who am I missing? Who's the seventh one that was there? Ah. I've been so many places, seen so many, but it was remarkable. So we're going to try to go back down maybe the 6th of December. Some of you want to go. We're going to try to focus towards that as well. And Mark.
James came, which is Craig's nephew.
Oh, thank you, man. James. So, Craig's nephew, this, James.
Yeah, let's point this out. This young man, 19 years old, shows up, and, I talked to him, does he do this kind of thing? He's like, no. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, just hanging out, So this guy worked with us side by side, like the whole time, dragging brush, climbing trees. I mean, he just put his all into it. So if you can come, bring a young man that you want to start teaching. Bring a young man with you. And there's tons of these kids out there that are between jobs, and they're just lost. And there's a good opportunity here to bring some young men to God this way.
Amen. And Serge, I remember the message I had with you, and I talked to Jim about that, and Jim seems to think that maybe that can work out. So we'll talk more about that, Serge. That's a great idea. If you could come and bring a young person with you, it was good. It was really, really good.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, how about that? Come on, Craig.
I'm a little technical challenge sometimes. I can run a skid loader, but the phone's kind of difficult for me. So
yes, sir, buddy. Just give us your reaction there, Craig. And man, thanks for coming down there and bringing James with you.
Yeah. I tell you, how do I say this? Being around like-minded men was such an impact. And Mark, he said he's still on that kind of that high right there. So am I. And when I attended church yesterday, just to let everybody know what was going on down there, there's a lot of devastation, and it's not just in one area, it's around every corner down there. And that, the debris is stacked 10 feet high in a lot of places. I mean, sometimes you can't even get it all out the road, but the people are just, like Mark said too, just in tears. And when you start telling them where you're from, New Jersey, Ohio, they're kind of wondering, why would a bunch of guys like that come down here and do for nothing when everybody else was trying to make a buck on it down there? I kind of found that out too. And they were just in awe and appreciation, but that's how God works too. And if you want to be blessed, my suggestion is get involved. You've got abilities that you don't even know that you have, and gifts that God has given you, and you can do this too.
You want to see something, folks? Yeah. I was behind that skid steer. You should have seen that. I'd never driven one of those things. And you got to move your both hands. It's like a zero turn mower with feet. And And Craig was patient. Tell me what a great job I was doing, even though I was screwing everything up. And it is a great dynamic. It's just a great dynamic that happens. Now I want to do something right here, because I'm going to talk about Texas next and what we did in Texas. And I heard somebody in the pre-show wanted to know about Planned Parenthood here in Ohio, and did they really bless it? And did we have people turned out? Yes, they really had a blessing. Yes, we had people that turned out. And I want to get into that. But I want to show you. I want to show you, folks, that this is deeper than just church camp for adults, although it is. I'm going to get to it. We had a great time at Chad's. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Bear with me. But I want Jared, if you could go to Ezekiel 8, because I want to put a spiritual backbone into what it is we're talking about here, the fellowship and all that stuff. And I mean, it's good. It's just so I'm so glad to get home and see my wife. I told those guys yesterday, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. And down in Texas, and somebody said, well, heck, coach, you know, think about those soldiers when they deployed and they went out for 2 years. And I felt kind of like a wussy, but you know, I'm going to be 66 this month. I miss my wife. I'm a grandpa, you know, but, it is what it is. I'm in Ezekiel 17. I'm sorry, Ezekiel 8, verse 17. I'm going to start there, and I want to flow down through, because I've spoken to you guys about this before, but I'm more convinced of this than ever, the 30-some guys that we had at Chad's, and we'll jump into there in just a second as well. But I want you to see, this is Ezekiel 3. I'm sorry, my brain. Ezekiel 8, verse 17. I'm going to begin at 17. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? He said, is this something to laugh at? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, the Lord said. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, the Lord says, I'm going to deal with these dudes. I'm going to deal also my fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. How about that for friendship evangelism? How about that for Jesus loves everybody? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yet, though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now, Jared, that's what's going on in the world, folks. That's what's going on all around us. But I want you to watch what happens here next in verse 19, verse 1. I'm sorry, 9, verse 1. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Do you get this picture, man? The Lord says, okay, boys, get all my guys in here now. And every man bring his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, 6 men came from the way of the highest gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. Get this picture. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in, and they stood beside the brazen altar. Mark, there's a lot of data here, brother. I just don't have time to stop on all this data. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the stamp in his hand. They call it the writer's inkhorn by his side. You get it? It's a stamp. You get what he's got? He's got a pad of ink and he's got a stamp in his hand. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and the men that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So the Lord says, you get that stamp, brother, and you go out there and you stamp. You talk about mark on your forehead. Talk about taking the mark. He said, you go around there and you stick that mark where? You stick it right in the middle of the head, man, right where everybody can see it. You set that mark right on their forehead. The guys that sigh and cry for what's going on in the nation. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city. He says to everybody else, this dude's going to come along. And the ones that are crying and sighing, he's going to stamp them. He's going to put a mark on their forehead. And then he says to the rest of them, okay, boys, the rest of you, you go through that city with him and you smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly. old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men and were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and they slew in the city. Well, I'm not saying we're supposed to go out and slay in the city. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this. Some of you are marked. Some of us are marked. It doesn't make us more special than anybody else. It doesn't make us more Christian than anybody else. But the reality of it is the Lord recognizes those whose hearts are hard towards them, those who mourn and cry over the condition of this nation. And I'm going to tell you, if you went to church yesterday, I don't know if you did. If you did go to church, I was on an airplane. If you went to church yesterday and you looked around your church, hey, Roger, I don't know if Roger in here. I always like to pick on Roger. Was there much mourning and crying? Did you see many in the churches that were mourning and crying for the condition the country's in? Anybody see, run into many of them yesterday? That's a question. Anybody run into many of them yesterday? No, you didn't. Because there aren't many of them. The ones that are marked are in Florida. The ones that are marked are in Texas. The ones that are marked are in Wisconsin and Iowa and Bethlehem, PA. The ones that are marked.
There was a discussion in the church that I did go to service. I got back to Dallas last night. Karina and I went to service at a 5 o'clock service. There was mention of Second Peter 3, I think it was, where they talked about the things that are happening in the land, and it just the disrespect for authority. That you see. And, you know, there's some verses in there which relates to the LGBT movement. It just illustrated the times in which we live.
That's right, Glenn. I can tell you this. They ain't marked. Those LGBTQRSs, they ain't marked. I can promise you that. Chad must have slept in this morning. I was going to bring him. Y'all know he's there. He is. Tech Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade. I want to pause right here. I'm getting ready to move in. Just bear with me, okay? Bear with me here. I want to tip my cap to Chad and his wife Michelle for the event they put on at their house. Somebody's done this. People coming in and out and sleeping on your couch and sleeping on every bed you have and eating your food, plugging up your toilets and taking showers, leaving towels, and Chad opens up his heart and his life, says, come on in, baby. Come on in. And we had a bunch of us there. We had a bunch. The guys that flew in from Nevada. Lane flew in from Nevada. Ray flew in from Wisconsin. And Larry drove in and his wife drove in from South Carolina. And see, once I start, then I'm going to forget all these people that came all these ways. These people are marked. They're marked. And Victor. I call Victor Victor's like my personal concierge. What's that called? I mean, I turn around and Victor's got a water bottle for me. I turn around, he's got a pill for me. I turn around, he's got a cigar for me. No, not really. Every time I turn around, Victor's got something for me. Victor gave me an old computer that he said, Coach, you need better technology. He gave me a new computer. He gave me a tablet. He served, he drove, he did, he just served and served and served and served and served and served. And served. Didn't want to do anything except serve. It was just unbelievable. The people, the quality of the people that we are coming in contact with, the quality of people who are being marked is unbelievable.
Hey, Coach, I don't know if Victor is on the queue. I never hear him, but I understand that he drove. Well, he led somebody home last night that was an hour and a half away from Chad's. He drove back.
Yeah. Yeah, he escorted Julie to her aunt's house 3 hours away because she didn't really know where she was. So Victor left about 8 o'clock at night with Julie and drove her to where, didn't drive her, led her in his car to where he was supposed, she was supposed to be, made sure she got there safely, and turned around and drove 3 hours back. And he, I wish Victor could get in here because he's got an amazing story. He said he was about falling, he was about to fall asleep. And, you know how you get zoned out, just got zoned out. And he said, the Lord sent a highway patrolman, pulled him over. Pulled him over for speeding or whatever it was. Got cops, said he was following him. He was weaving and all that kind of stuff. Pulled him over the side of the road and got him out of the car. I don't know whether he got him out of the car or whatever, but that jolt awakened Victor so that he was able to make the rest of the trip. The guy gave him a warning. And Victor's convinced of just God sent an angel because he was falling asleep on the road. And so Victor gets in about 3 o'clock in the morning and gets up at 6 o'clock to take me to the airport. I just can't even tell you, man, the servant's heart wanting to do that. The most unbelievable people, just the most unbelievable people. Karen. I mean, you don't even hear much about Karen. She's just constantly always there serving, doing whatever she can do. Kevin Van Story drove in from Missouri. Why he did that, I don't know. He and his wife drove in and so we went to the Planned Parenthood. George was there. George, oh man. George drives in from Oklahoma with Randy, his new buddy. And the numbers, we just keep adding and adding and adding. It's like I said this to Don when we were in Florida. I said, Don, if I was a football coach and this was the NFL, you are the best free agent pickup I've ever had. You were like a free agent. Nobody wanted anything to do with you anymore. We pick you up. My goodness, you become the most valuable player. And Craig, I said, Craig became player to be named later in a draft. We pick up the word. Where's the Lord bringing these people from? It's really, really unbelievable. And so we were able to go to the Planned Parenthood there in Austin, Texas, and it was closed. And, the enemy tried to stop that event from happening, tried to discourage Chad and tried to discourage me. He said, well, no, nobody's going to come, not going to do it. Chad did what Chad does best. He got on the phone and called people, says, come on, dude, man, we need you. You got to do it. And we ended up with 35 or 40 of us there. I don't know. And Owen Schreier from InfoWars. See that? In my opinion, that's what the whole thing was about. The Lord was trying to connect us with InfoWars. I really believe it. Media platform with what we're trying to do. And Owen didn't really know us, didn't know me. I communicated with him a couple times. He didn't really know. And then we showed up, and we all showed up, and we got our red shirts on and our hat. And even though it was cold, we had jackets on. We were all in uniform. And all of a sudden, Owen understood, my goodness, these guys can play. And his whole countenance changed and his whole approach changed to the point where he said, man, we're going to do this. We're going to do this again in April and we're going to do this a couple times a year. We're going to get out here. So it was, we just stood, the Planned Parenthood was closed, of course, and we stood along the street and we held up the signs and we were out there for a couple hours and Ray got interviewed by InfoWars and Linda Tibbs comes from Kentucky. Linda gets interviewed by InfoWars and, you say, well, who's InfoWars? Well, they're probably the largest non-regular media source in America, InfoWars. And so the Lord got out the word of what it was that we were doing. I just, you know, Brian Cunningham comes, his wife comes. Chad, jump in here, man. Talk a little bit about what kind of your reaction is. Folks, I bring, I've spent a half hour on this because I'm just telling you, something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. We are building something. The Lord is marking and building something deeper and more solid than we can even understand. Come on in, Chad.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just, it was a really powerful weekend. Really, we started on Thursday. People started coming in Thursday. So we've had an extended Salt and Light Brigade weekend. So Craig is still here. He's leaving this morning. It's the Craig last one. So yeah. It was a great experience. The fellowship, of course, that we have. Of course, I always call it church camp for adults because we're able to just get together. And, you know, we talk about it that this is probably when you get together like this, is the only place that you can talk about your theories and things like that without people laughing at your or pointing fingers and snickering or, you know,
That's right.
Whatever you're able to
you can put on a tinfoil hat and feel perfectly comfortable there. Nobody's going to laugh at you.
Yeah, and it's you know, and it's a sharing of ideas and all that kind of stuff. And so we need to, and we're more accepting, I think, and of you know, one another and stuff. You know, you just generally enjoy the company. You know, I mean, everybody's got something to offer. You know, and they may not be, you know, someone, you know, that's like myself. I might be, you know, whatever, the quarterback or a front man or whatever. But, you know, there's so many people back behind the scenes here that make this thing happen. You know, there's a lot, like you talk about Victor. I mean, not only did he drive that Julie there and or ride with her there or whatever, there and back. Okay, on the way back, I said, man, I was checking my stuff. I said, I don't have any more bacon from the morning. So I texted him, hey, can you stop and get some bacon on your way back in? So I would have had to gone out, get up, get ready, get out there, go to the store and all that. And he said, hey, man, no problem, Chad, no problem. So he goes, gets the bacon. And man, I mean, you know, it's great to have a utility guy that, you know, Ray is like
utility, that also. That's right. You know, yeah. So when are you gonna sleep? When are you gonna sleep, Victor? I'm fine, Coach. I'm fine, Coach. I think that, yeah, amazing servant. Amazing.
I mean, but so many were selfless, you know, this weekend, and they just, you know, you're just really honored to serve with them, you know, and you don't want to let anybody down. You want to really work hard, and so we were fortunate, you know, there was no opposition there, but I think too part of it was, hey, look, we prayed a lot. We set the stage up. We, what I talked about on Sunday was, look, we got to go on the offense. I'm sick of sitting back here on being on defense all day long and just, well, just help us from the evil. I want to take the hurt to them. I want them to be running scared.
Amen.
I want them to be like cockroaches when we turn on the light. I'm tired of playing around with them. So I'm just, I want to get a little more aggressive. And make them react to us.
Chad, that's why I think our ministry is unique. Because you can go do mercy. You can go cut up trees if you want to. You can go feed bread if you want to. But you can also put on your helmet, salvation, take your sword and go engage on the offensive for the Lord. That, to me, that's the one that's missing most of all the ministry. That's missing.
And hey, Coach.
We do all of them. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, the Church of Corinth may not have really understood about the body of Christ, and they were getting sick and dying because of that.
Yeah.
Pastor Saul is getting this body of Christ thing figured out.
I believe we are, Larry. I believe we are. And what we're trying to do, man, is we're just trying to – we just said, come, man, come. We just need you. You just come. We need you. Whatever it is, you come.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, another thing we're talking about, there was no opposition there, but within the last month, because we showed up in such great numbers, when we were in Milwaukee, they were scared to open up because of our numbers. When we were down there in Austin, they knew we were coming. They were scared of us. It takes us to stand up like that. The numbers that showed up scare them away. We put them in fear.
I believe it's Proverbs 24:1. Maybe I'm wrong, but isn't it the wicked flee when no one pursues, and the righteous are as bold as a lion?
And we saw it, Dale. We saw it, you know. We saw it. And, you know, David Arthur, I'm not going to continue to pat David Arthur on his back. He's done the whirlwind tour. He's down to Dale's probably still right now. He spoke at Dale's church yesterday, and Dale did an outreach at his church with you know, gas, giving away free gas and all kinds of stuff. And David is on his way down there. And I mean, it's just, oh man.
Hey, Coach, let me tell you about the gas giveaway. It is a mercy ministry, but when these people line up for gas, I can tell you how many people were breaking down and crying. The last lady in the gas line, her car was on empty. But that's just we're catching and he's cleaning, because people would roll down their windows. And David Arthur and Larry, brother, we're in their cars praying with these people. But then we take them from the car wash or from the gas giveaway. They go across the street. Now we got them out of their cars. They're sitting down eating meals, brother. And we're just blasting them with the word of God and praying over these people. And matter of fact, all the black people that are in church. They all came from our gas giveaway. They got out of the black church, which was just about taken from them.
Amen, brother. There's great stuff going on. Hey, Jared, real quickly, go to my Facebook page. I want people to see some of this stuff that I just give. I'm going to move on. I got more to talk about. But folks, listen, I'm just trying. I can't emphasize enough to you. Get to one of these events. Get to one of them. Put $20 a week away. Begin now to put something away. Get a part-time job if money's the issue. You need to get to one of these. You've been marked. You need to get there and understand what it's all about. People don't come to these things and say, I ain't ever going back. That stupid thing, I ain't ever going back. We don't hear that. And so I'm not here trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to here to encourage you. Say, man, you got to get involved. Got to get involved. Jared, just get on my Facebook page here, man. Let's scroll down. I don't know how many of you can see. There's me and Chad and Owen Schroyer. There's Leslie. It's Lexi's mother. That's Owen Schroyer. You guys don't know who Owen is. He's a big wig on InfoWars. He's a big dude. Powerful testimony. Well, I'm not going to play it right now. This young lady gives us testimony about her abortion. It's powerful. It's about 9 minutes. Wow. Wow. You got to hear that. Powerful testimony. Scroll on down a little bit, Jared, if you can. There we are. That's ugly old Chad there. And Owen and me at the event. And we won his respect. I can tell you that. We won his respect. Because he knows we turned him out. So let's scroll on down, Jared, if you can. And then there's Owen talking about this is all. See that big wall behind us? That's the Planned Parenthood. They have a wall. No wall on the border. There's a wall at Planned Parenthood. Scroll down a little bit, Jared. I just want you to get some pictures of some of our folk that are standing there. There's Linda Tibbs. Linda came all the way from Kentucky, and she got interviewed by Owen, looking at her choice picture. Scroll on down a little bit more, Jared. Good, bud. there's the testimony again. I'm trying to get somewhere. I think I just got a good picture of us. Line. Maybe. Well, there we are. Jared, maybe over in my photos. Yeah, just she isn't just over in my photos. Maybe I don't have it. There's a lot. Look at this one. Hey, Jared, play that real quick. Folks, look at this. This somebody sent me this. I posted this. This is a sign truly outside of the Bethlehem United Church of Christ. This is their jumbotron. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
I want it on record.
We take the Bible seriously, not literally. We are a church of women in leadership. Looking for a progressive theology? Try us. School zone. LBGTQRS, welcoming church. Unbelievable, isn't it? United Church of Christ. We take the Bible seriously, not literally. Hell, they don't even take it. They don't even take it literally. Okay, well, that's cool. Oh, Jared, click on that. Oh, this is good. This is for JR. This is for Mark Trump. Mark, Appalachian English. Why we say war, shrag, and Lothar. Because that's me. Remember I told you, I'm a Melungeon? Scroll down a little bit on this, Jared. Made me feel, Trump, it'll make you feel better. He said, I'm just an old hillbilly. Said, the world that I knew as a kid was far different than that of most other children. However, at the time, I had no idea. I thought that every child had grandfathers who were coal miners, a father who bucket-fed orphan calves, a grandmother who spoke about Jesus as though she knew him personally, and a mother who wasn't above forcing her disobedient son to snap a green branch from a willow tree out in the front yard. I grew up in Appalachia, and Appalachia was all I knew. It was not until I reached the golden age of 18 and moved away to college in a distant city that I slowly began to realize just how unique and wonderful my life's experience has been compared to so many others. My first day of living in my freshman dormitory, I evoked the laughter of the entire floor when I used the word war rag to describe the newly purchased washcloths my mother had included in my bag of necessity. In the world that I came to age in, that's what they were called, war rags. And that was the only thing that they were ever called. In the days, weeks, and years that followed, I would one by one learn that the way we spoke as child was far different from how most others talked. To my astonishment, I discovered that a mountain holler is actually spelled as hollow. I also faced criticism from pronouncing wires war and fires far and tired as tarred. Through the years, my classmates, teachers, and employers have all attempted to either correct my pronunciations or berate me for speaking this way. However, I have since learned to be proud of my Appalachian English. And there are many linguistic experts who've come to our defense in recent years. There's a predominant theory that those of us raised in the hills and hollers of Appalachia were raised to speak differently than the rest of the nation due to the isolation the mountains provided. This isolation protected the English dialect from the same types of corruptions it experienced in many others more populous places, making our dialect one of the most ancient dialects in the nation. While our high-browed relatives who moved to the big city and lost their accents may frown upon our words and pronunciation, it is believed that Appalachian dialect is a remnant of Elizabethan English. As evidence of this is the use of words such as afeard, a Shakespearean word that is largely forgotten by most English speakers outside of Appalachian region. Appalachian English also places an sound at the end of a word for a long O. For example, hollow becomes holler. Other examples are potato becomes potato or tater. Tomato is a mater. Tobacco is backer. H retention occurs at the beginning of certain words as well. It, in particular, is pronounced it at the beginning of a sentence. And also, when emphasized, the word ain't is paint. Then the now grease is pronounced with an S, but this consonant turns into a Z, grease. If you're fluent in Appalachian English, be proud and do not allow society to rob you of your incredibly rich and wonderful heritage. Keep saying wash rag. That's what I do. So I noticed JR probably doesn't even know this, but he always calls it Washington, D.C. So, JR, I'm not going to correct you anymore. It is Washington, D.C. Cool. All right. Anything else as I move on here? A lot of good stuff on my Facebook page, a lot of good interviews, stuff that you can check out.
I appreciate that article, Coach. I appreciate that. I wish more people listened to that.
That's it, man. That's true. That's the truth, Mark, huh? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you start reading it, I'm thinking about the way I've been treated for my language my whole life, you know? And,
They think you're stupid, don't they? They think you're stupid because of the way you speak.
Well, for us, it's a filter of stupidity. So if people are going to reject you for the way you talk without knowing who you are, then so be it. That's a good filter for me. I don't need to worry about those people.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Amen. So, Victor, when we make fun of your language, we appreciate the way you speak, man. We're glad that you speak that way.
Dave.
Yeah.
Also, Chad, I just also want to say, I put it in the queue already, but I went ahead and opened up and made a YouTube channel for the Texas Salt Night Brigade. So we posted a couple of videos on there of some of our activity that we did this weekend. So just ask folks to go over there and check that out, please. Thank you.
Jared, pull one of those up there. Where do we find it, Chad?
It's real hard to find. It's called Greater Texas Salt Night Brigade.
Okay, well, let's watch one of these here real quickly. It's good. He doesn't make them real long. Which one here, Chad? You got Parenthood Video 1, 2, and then just Assault and Light Brigade. Which one should we play?
Yeah, Video 1.
Video 1? Yeah, there we go.
All right, we're out here at the Planned Parenthood Clinic, InfoWars joint operation. Right here dominating. No one shows up to oppose us. They're scared of us. They can't justify a bad position. They cannot justify a bad position. So look, this is great. We encourage more and more to come on out. And get involved. Get involved. You don't have to come here. Get involved in your community. Do something.
Thank you, sir. We love you.
Do something positive for the kingdom.
I personally think that that is not only immoral, but also illegal. What's your opinion? Why do you think that Americans willingly give $500 million?
Hey,
it though, Kevin?
I believe he is.
With Victor across the road. From his mirror. Good work, Chad. Good work there, man. Good. Good work. Hey, listen, you know me. A show wouldn't be a show without a little bit of tinfoil hat. Can I throw a little tinfoil hat in here for y'all? Let me pause here a second. Jared, get ready to. One down at the next to the last one, Jared, it says fires in California. Get that up there. Hey, folks, listen. L.A. Marzulli lost everything in these fires. He lost everything. Just keep it right there a second, Jared. And if you want to, maybe we'll get that up on our website. He lost everything. And when I'm talking about everything, he's lived in Malibu for since 1970. Six, I think he said he first moved into Malibu. He's lived there ever since. His whole life went up in flames. And he has some stuff that, you know, think about all the research and the books and the stuff that he had. And I don't even know how the guy keeps going. But very, very positive about it. And, you know, he said, I'm going down fighting. I don't roll over and suck on my thumb. So there's an opportunity to donate to I think it's a GoFund. I'm sorry, I don't have it up. Shame on me. I didn't really know I was going to talk about it. But that'd be a good place to put a donation if you want to in there for L.A. Marzulli and his wife, Peggy, who lost everything. But I was had a conversation, not with him, but someone who'd spoken to L.A. Actually, I was watching a video of L.A. That's where it was. And L.A. is I'm not trying to steal thunder from him. He says this didn't happen by accident. It hadn't happened by accident. And so I happened to get on this Facebook page. I got my tinfoil hat there. Now, you can believe if you want to. Not believe if you want to. Folks, once again, we have forest fires where everything burns except the trees. And something called direct energy weaponry is being used. Now, this goes really, really deep because we don't understand that Chinese own much of California. Chinese do. And part of what they want to do is they want to destroy that area so they can refurbish it, if you know what I'm talking about, right? So I got on this Facebook page right here, and Jared, let's just start clicking it. Let's just go through. Now, first of all, folks, look at that car. Go back there, Jared. It's melted, not burnt. Melted. Melted. Tires aren't burnt. Tires didn't burn. Go to the next one, Jared. Somebody caught this picture of a beam coming down and striking this fire.
Hey, Coach.
You have any?
Can I just remind people that you can find that same energy signature 18 years ago at World Trade Center?
Can I, folks, listen, let's just keep looking at some of these. This isn't my Facebook page. I didn't. Go ahead now, this next video. This video is going to play a little bit, and I want you to watch this next video, how it's just certain houses. It's not a forest fire that burned everything. Go ahead and play this next one, Jared.
But right here, we're looking into the Thousand Oaks area. Actually, yeah, this is the north end of the Thousand Oaks area. Looking for any damage in here, but it doesn't look like fire got into this area. This is right up the edge there. It's a little bit of fire came down.
Well, I'll be darned. There's a house burnt down right in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, we got a house right there. And multiple houses down here in Oak Park.
And trees are still
there. The ones that back up to the interface. And that's 12 o'clock. Yeah, you're... Okay, yeah, I see it now. It's Lindero Canyon I see there. So, yeah, trying to get oriented here from so high up and very little visibility. outward to where I can get my references. But you can see here the damage. Houses on either side, you know, still standing, but the one right there is completely gone. And it got into these houses in the back. They got that one house right there. In fact, that's one we were watching last night.
Kill the next
one. We were watching this.
It's unbelievable. What's this? Watch it. Same thing, folks. The same stuff. Oh, I know it's tinfoil hat. Yeah.
Hey, you put a fork in the microwave. Hey, you put a fork in the microwave. Look at the colors that you'll see. Okay. Look, put a piece of aluminum foil in the microwave and look at the colors. Okay, that's gamma radiation. Just letting you know.
All right, buddy. Look at this, folks. This is supposed to be a forest fire, they're telling us. Yeah, George.
Coach, I got home last night, by the way. Yeah, thanks to Chad, Michelle, and, man, that what a phenomenal weekend. Everyone, well, I'll tell you what, you'll be so blessed, and you'll be a blessing to others by going to these weekends. They're really very, very life-changing. But I wanted to say, I got home last night, and I was listening to, I think it's Liz Kronken, and she lives in California. And, Coach, I'm not even so sure you're talking tinfoil hat. I mean, she said if you look 5 minutes on the internet, it's obvious that what's happening in California is weather weaponry. I think there's no question about it.
Yeah. Well, look at this flash here on right on your screen. Look at this.
Next, Dave would make a nice border patrol, huh, Coach?
Yeah, I sure would. Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I was just going to say that it's also interesting that this is Thousand Oaks, California. What just happened in Thousand Oaks, California? The nightclub shooting.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Don't get me into Broward County. Well, no, I was going to go there, but maybe we'll pick up on that tomorrow, right? Hey, folks, I want you to stop and think about this. How long has California been here? How long has it been there? And there's never been a fire like this ever in Malibu, ever. And all of a sudden, look at this. Look at the green golf course behind it in the houses. 2018, the year forest fires. Look at these. This isn't a forest fire. These things are melt. 2018, the year forest fires forgot the forests.
See, the average forest fire burns at about 1,200 degrees. These fires, to melt this kind of stuff, is over 2,500. To melt bricks is 2,500 degrees.
Man, go to the next one. These things are melted.
Hey, Coach, can I just throw in open air fires, 2,500 degrees? It's ridiculous.
Look at those flames up in the air. Go back there, Chad. Or I'm Jared. I'm sorry. Look at those flames up. Look at that stuff. Go on. 10-foil height, I know. Look at this. The car's melted. Tire's not even burnt. Look at that. Trees are still there, and this car, this truck, has disintegrated. The trees are still there. Dust. Everything goes to dust. Can you say 911? Look at that. Everything's burnt. There's a trash can. Plastic trash can didn't even burn. Trees are still there. Unbelievable, isn't it?
The south wind and the Santa Ana's.
Go ahead. They're trying to blame it on the wind. Try to blame it. Go to the next one, Jared. Blame it on the wind.
Stayed at Zuma Beach.
Same thing. Trees. Everything's burnt. But look at these cars. The trees are fine. But it was a forest fire. Look at this bridge that melted. Unbelievable, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, I know it's tinfoil hat stuff. But see, we can connect all of this to the chemtrails and the particles that they're putting up in the air so that they have... Hey, Mark Trump pointed this out to me. I know you're still there, Mark. Let that keep rolling, Jared. Mark Trump pointed this out to me, and when we were in Panama City, he said, "Coach, it looks like it just started right here. Didn't it do a thing here? It started right here and went and stopped right." Weren't you the one that said that to me, Mark? That hurricane?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was. They can paint the weather perfectly square, just like that line across the concrete. I mean, that's. They can do that in the clouds in the sky. Absolutely.
Amazing, huh, folks?
Now, the weapon used for the cloud cover and geoengineering was built
Freeze that, Jared.
Yeah, it was actually built by, you know, one of the defense contractors, and you can see the contracts out there. And all of these technologies have patents. So I'll compile a something we can release with the patents where you can look at the engineering behind these, the disassembly of the equipment. I mean, it's got it all. So hey, folks, all of this is real.
Folks, look at this video we're going to look at right here, right now. These are cars on the beach. Now, somebody tell me, how did a forest fire get to these cars on the beach? Go ahead, Jared.
So I come down to the beach, and this is what's going on. What the fuck? Look at this shit. Look at that.
Dave also came within in his younger days at Top Gun called Real Genius. And they were doing this technology in that movie. Developing a laser or some type of weapon that they can shoot from an aircraft or satellite.
Weather manipulation, whether we want to believe it or not, huh? Crazy, crazy stuff. Is there anything else I want to get in here? I want to talk about the voter fraud. I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. In fact, I want
hey,
to
just... Hey, Coach, can I throw something in right quick?
Yeah, please do, Kevin.
Talk about weather manipulation. You see what it's doing at my house right now? It is snowing. This is the earliest that I can believe that we've ever got snow here.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, folks. A lot of it isn't, I don't have time to dive into this. But, weather patterns are changing, and it doesn't have anything to do with global warming. That's another one up Mark Trump's alley. Maybe we can get him to talk about that. Weather patterns are definitely changing, and isn't it amazing that how long ago was it that they were trying to tell us it was global warming, man-made global warming, because weather patterns are changing, and it ain't got nothing to do with man-made global warming. Okay, something bigger going on than that for sure. Weather pattern, crazy. The tornadoes, the hurricanes. They were tornadoes within the hurricane down in Panama City. They said tornadoes within the hurricane. Massive. Go next, Jared. See if there isn't one more thing to flip on. Okay, that's it. So listen, I'm going to do Lord willing tomorrow. Look at those. Look there, folks. There's some pictures of high energy weaponry caught in action. Man, oh man. Look at the melt. Look at that. I came from a forest fire, right? I came from a forest fire. Yeah, from a forest fire. Trees are still up though. Notice the trees behind it. They're still up. A fast moving brush fire is happening in Newberry Park, Thousand Oaks area. It's ignited in the area of Hill Canyon, Santa Ana around 2 p.m. Mandatory evacuations. Camarillo Springs, Visitio, Trailer Park, full closure of 101. Yeah.
The reason the trees aren't burning in the metal is because of frequency. The frequency that they hit that area with, the trees won't burn because there's the wrong frequency.
Yep. See, this is another example of what are you going to believe? You're going to believe your eyes or what I tell you? But another perfect. A good example of that. So Listen, man, thanks for joining us today. Tomorrow I'm going to get into some stuff a little bit heavier about Broward County, Florida. That's where that school shooting took place, you know that? That's where the Pulse nightclub was. That's where, oh, well, on and on and on. What a time to be alive. Thanks for being part of the Q. Thanks for being part of the team. We have not yet begun to fight. God bless you. See you tomorrow.